Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
Lads, today's guest, Helen Bauer, is just probably the most naturally funny people I've ever met in my life. A couple of years ago, she was nominated for Best Newcomer in Edinburgh. She's extremely special. I can't believe she's only 30. It kind of terrifies me, I'm not going to lie. But you do need to head over to her online gig, Giglist, which she hosts with Catherine Bohart. Check her out on that. Or you can, once you're done listening to Crimeland, listen to her brilliant podcast, Daddy Look At Me, which she does with the hilarious Rosie Jones. Helen is utterly deadly. I have been so lucky to have so many guests on this show. If you fancy supporting Crimeland, you can do it at headstuffpodcast.com. For £5 a month, you can avail of our extra episodes. This month's extra episode is looking at the horrendous murder of Becky Watts with the lovely Sophie Shanley. There is also a bevy of other podcasts to choose from there. Another podcast which I'd like to give a shout out to this week is Fail Harder by Emma Jane Purcell. It's essentially a podcast all about failing, which is something I am very, very familiar with. Enjoy the episode, guys, and thank you so much for listening to Crimeland.
Hello, I'm Emma Jane from Fail Harder, the podcast that chats to people at the top of their game about failure, from their first memory of failure to how they cope with it now. I have some unbelievable guests on the show like Paul Mescal, James Cavanagh, Georgina Campbell, the list just goes on. And of course, we'd be mad to take failure too seriously, so every week I have 20 questions in front of me numbered at random. Most are straightforward, however some are a little more unconventional, and in the spirit of failure, my guest can pick the number. They might not like the results, but life's not fair and neither is my podcast.
Welcome to Crimeland. My name is Julie J, and this week I'm talking to the hilarious
Helen Bauer
about Isabella Guzman, aka the TikTok killer. Quick disclaimer that absolutely no offence is meant to any of the people discussed in this episode, and we always strive to discuss these topics in a human and empathetic way. A few sources used for this episode include Murderpedia, archival footage from CBSN Denver, YouTube videos from Eleanor Neal and Daniel Kirsty, and an article by Kim Nguyen, I think I'm pronouncing that wrong, from thedenverchannel.com. Helen, thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my God, thank you. I'm already so invested. You've done so much research. I'm freaking
you.
Out.
Well, Helen, I just love you so much because you were genuinely excited when I got onto you today, which I just fucking love because you're a true crime girl.
oh, I listen to it when I go to bed first thing in the morning. Like, I was nervous that you were going to present me a story I already knew, but this one I've never heard before. I'm very excited.
Oh, Helen, thank you so much for doing this. And by the way, I'm giving Helen a big L plug. I'm going to record that after the podcast because it's probably going to be hard to listen to, you know, all your qualities. I always feel when somebody is complimenting you on a podcast, it feels a bit like you're listening to your own obituary.
You feel like, well, they're saying it to, like, make you feel special. Like, this is why I've got a little knife just out of shot that you can't see, just to nick myself with every time you say something nice, so I feel like human still.
Helen, no, please just use an elastic band at least. Put the okay, knife sorry. Down. That's an old trick. So will I dive straight in?
Yes. Oh my God, let's do it. Let's fucking murder okay. someone.
Okay, no, Helen. Murder is wrong. Okay, so Isabella Guzman is the one-time 18-year-old killer whose videos based on her 2013 court appearances went viral on TikTok. Oh, after God. She was charged with murder, you had people basically, Helen, copying her facial expressions, donning orange jumpsuits and dressing up as Isabella for Halloween. And her case also spun many threads on our old friend Reddit, which, by the way, is a 100% reliable source. And if you are doing your history dissertation at the moment, you can quote from that. Like, it's a footnote. You can totally use Reddit. Her trial attracted a lot of attention, primarily because nobody could believe a girl who looked like her could be capable of such a terrible crime. So many comments on TikTok revolved around her appearance, describing her as sweet looking, cute, and she developed almost this cult like following of people saying basically, essentially, that she was too pretty to be a murderer.
Like the yeah. Foxy Noxy people who were just sort
exactly.
of like, okay, I get you. Yep.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why, you know, there are many reasons not to murder. But for me personally, that's kind of why I never became a murderer, because I was like, people just won't believe it. I look too good.
Shut up. I'm that's why you pretty. Should do it, to get loads of compliments of people being like, but she's so fit, and if you're fit, be fit, and she's fit, so she can't kill.
Helen Walker. Actually, do you know what? It would. I think it is a legitimate defense in court, I would imagine. But I was too fit to do it. Sorry. yeah, so look, she attracted this media interest straight away because essentially she was a very pretty young woman. And I suppose the ferocity of this crime, It was a bit jarring, because you're obviously trying to correlate the fact that this crime is so vicious and marry that with this visual of this young, very innocent looking 18-year-old girl. So people were instantly interested. Louisa Guzman was born on the 9th of June, 1995, in Aurora, Colorado, to parents Yumi Ho and Robert Guzman. When she was four, her parents divorced. Now, I couldn't find out why they divorced, but I did read a couple of
because they were raising a psychopath. Like, would you not know. Get divorced?
It would be stressful, wouldn't it? For sure. And well, I did read somewhere that they put it down to a misunderstanding, which I just think has to be the most Irish reason for a divorce ever. So inverted commas, a misunderstanding. Her
Someone
mother
cheated. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I thought. Like, definitely, yeah, definitely doing.
I misunderstood
doing the dirty.
Where I should put my penis. Yeah.
Hey, I hate when they do that. Her mother remarried a guy called Ryan Hoy, and this seemed to kind of mark the beginning of the troubled relationship between mother and daughter. So essentially, Isabella, by all accounts, was always a nightmare child. You know, she really mm-hmm. was a very difficult child, so much so that when she was seven, her mother actually said, look, I can't cope with this child. Like, this child is just like this is too difficult. So she asked her ex-husband to take Isabella in. So Isabella moved in with her dad for a while when she was seven because her mother was just like, I cannot control her.
Oh, my God. Okay.
So things were bad. I mean, a seven-year-old, like when you're at that point with the seven-year-old, I mean, you'd say things are bad, but also then part of me is like, can a seven-year-old be that bad? I don't know.
She's so little at seven to be passed over as well.
It does. And I mean, absolutely, like, we're not putting blame on anyone here, but it does seem very young to say, I can't deal with this child, you know?
Yeah.
It seems very young. But the mother and the father, they kind of, I suppose they had a good relationship, even though they were divorced. So they had bought a studio together. And I think, I was trying to find out what kind of studio it was, but I think they were artists. So they continued to work. Yeah, which is kind of cool, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They continued to work together after their divorce and they still got on really well. Isabella would sometimes help out there after school, but didn't really like it and looked down on her parents for working what she thought of, like she kind of thought of the job as badly paid. And she continued to be really oppositional to her parents and resented her mother for not having a lot of money. And this just added problems, you know, added to the problems in the family home. So she was kind of, she was resentful of her parents. You know, it just, it sounds like she had a very troubled relationship with them. And it seems like just things were never really good, that there was just always something going on.
Oh, Isabella. I mean, she's very opinionated for a young woman as well to be like, you don't earn enough money for me. Like, what?
I know. It's a bit Veruca Salt, isn't it?
A bit. It's full Veruca Salt. Like, I want a goose.
But I would say, I actually don't know about you, Helen, but I do kind of stan Veruca Salt, especially the older I get.
I used to, but then the more I think about the fact that in her dream world, all she wants is a bean feast, I just always get pissed off.
You're right.
It's like that song should be epic and it's mainly about how many beans she wants. And it's like, I don't get it. I don't get it. You know?
It was, you know what? Now that you see, not a lot of common ground with Veruca Salt. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spot on, Helen. So Isabella was raised as a Jehovah's Witness, but at the age of 14, she renounced the religion.
That's it. That's it. The Jehovah's Witness thing. It's a cult.
You know what?
I'm with her a bit more now.
I was slow to drop the J word because I was like, once Helen hears the J word, she's going to be like, it's
done. She's going to freak out.
It's done. Well, Team Isabella.
To be raised in an organisation, obviously I don't know loads about it, where you're told that everyone around you who's not a Jehovah's Witness is going to hell and that you are one of the chosen few. Your perspective on the world is so messed up.
It's distorted.
I'm not saying that all Jehovah's Witnesses end up killing.
No, I totally agree. Like, it's definitely one that I think if you're not in it, other people, it does seem a little bit bemusing, the whole thing. I mean, I would think my first introduction to the religion, I know very little about it as well. I do. But I don't know a lot. But my first introduction to the religion, I think, was when Jerry Halliwell talked about being raised as a Jehovah's Witness and the fact that they didn't celebrate birthdays or Christmas. And I was like, I'm out. So you never got a present. Like, again, not sounding like Isabella here, but like a present would be nice one day out of the year.
A present is nice, but also I think it alienates you from your peers.
Yeah, it's like, well,
I don't
it
know
does
much
actually.
About it, people I know who were raised in these really strict religions, like, you are taught the other people around you are wrong, and it does pull you away. Like, you don't have that thing of inviting them around for a birthday party. Like, you have to spend your weekends canvassing and supporting the church. Like, you're not part of, I think it does desocialize you in a very general sense.
It's, well, actually, do you know what, Helen? You're so spot on. It does alienate you for sure. Because that's kind of the very, that's the central tenet of it, isn't it, really? Yeah. So it is kind of isolating. I mean, certainly, I'd imagine it would have been quite full on in the gaff. And actually, with this particular religion, so everyone around Isabella was a member of this religion. So her biological dad, her stepdad, her mom, they were all like very much, and it is a religion as well, like if you're in it, you're in it. You know, there's none of this like, I'm Catholic, but, you know, like, I mean, it's like, you know, you're in or you're out. Yeah. So she, when she was 14, which I think is probably typical teenage behavior, said, look, I'm no longer in this. This is just not for me. And that, as you can imagine, because Helen, you have described it so well, so much better than I could. It is very much like if you're not in the religion, you are an outsider and you are isolated. So obviously this did not help matters at home. She stopped going to school. The conflict was just getting worse and worse in the gaff. And the problems, particularly between Isabella and her mother, were getting worse and worse. But it was when she was 18 that everything, I guess, things really intensified. She had a habit of sneaking boys into her house. Now, I would like to say that I went through that phase, but No, I mean, sadly, I was mad to sneak boys into the gaff, but none of them wanted to sneak in with me. So it wasn't an issue for me. So much so that the neighbours actually, I'd love to say we've all been there, Helen, but I certainly haven't. So look, I can't speak from experience here. She kept sneaking lads into the house. Now, so much so that the neighbours actually complained about the guys entering and exiting the property. She also wanted to drop out of school, despite the fact that she was really close to graduating. And
what the fuck is wrong with those neighbours?
I know. Oh. Well, I think somebody described in one of the articles I read, like the boys like would run across the lawn, which I just personally as a neighbour, I would enjoy watching that.
Yeah, it's like a soap opera. It's great.
Bit of crack. Oh, but look, the neighbours obviously were not up for this. So her mother, surprise, surprise, took issue with it as well. It was in late August 2013. So at this stage, she's dropped out of school. Obviously, her parents are not happy about this because she was in her last year of high school. She was so close to graduating. She drops out, so close to getting her qualification, and drops out. In August of that summer, she broke up with her boyfriend and he came over to the house to pick up some of his things, and she actually chased after him with a golf club. So this is an indication that, like, you know, maybe she's not in the best space. Have you ever chased anyone with an item in your hand, Helen?
I mean, literally never. But yeah. Isabella, but like, this feels right for her. Like, this wouldn't be right for me because I'm 29 and I still haven't had a boyfriend. So Isabella's miles ahead of me.
Well, listen, I got my first, like, somebody I would call a boyfriend. I'd say I was like 27. So I was late to that game as well. Well, you see, I would be shifting people for years and years and years with no commitment.
Yes, that's so, what I do. Yeah. Like, just, but I like would fall in love with them and they'd be like, oh, like, they're just not in a relationship.
Hello.
Like,
okay. Of course. Yeah. I would keep buying them gifts in the hope that they would one day choose to go out with me. It probably is not something I can empathize but didn't have direct experience of it. But she broke up with this fella, he came over for his clothes, and to be fair, you don't want to give the hoodie back. Like, you're keeping the hoodie, let's face it. Her behavior was also getting more threatening towards her family. Her stepdad Ryan said that the mother and daughter did clash. So I guess Ryan was very much, she never liked Ryan, the stepdad. She always took issue with him. And during this time, the stepdad would later say that the arguments had gone to a whole new level, even leading to one awful moment when, this again is in August, Isabella actually spat on her mother. I know. Okay. So unnecessary.
This just sounds like a really toxic atmosphere. Like, oh, they just don't get along. But I'm
really
not
bad.
Like, yeah. I mean, it's so hard to tell what is like teenage hormones and emotions just being misplaced.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
what is like a violent streak that needs therapy.
Yeah, I mean, this, I think we would say this is beyond, wouldn't we, Helen?
Oh, this is beyond, but I know that feeling of being so frustrated with a parent when you're 14. I mean, this is awful, but once when I was 14, my mum was like probably doing something so chill. Like, I probably came home from school and she went, "How was your day?" And I was like, "You never ask anything about me. You don't even like me." And I was drinking water out of a glass. And I remember just being so frustrated. I just looked at her and I was just sort of like, "I'm going to drop it." And she was like, "Don't you dare smash that glass." So I just went, "Why not?" and smashed it on the floor and walked away. And she was like, "What the fuck?" I think it was because basically I fell in love with this boy at school who was gay, but because my intuition is so off, I kept on asking him out every week and getting my heart rebroken. But then we talked later and it was all fine. I feel like Isabella and her mum didn't then go on to be like, "What's going on, babe?" Like,
that is so fucking funny. Now, to be fair, your mum, she did run a drama school though, didn't she?
Yeah, from our house. So she definitely would have been like, "If you're going to do it, face the audience when you do it. And like, you want it to smash in that direction."
I was going to say, she probably loved it.
Oh, my mum loved Helen my broke teenage the class. Yeah. Oh, she loved it when we were like super hormonal and emotional, like me and my siblings. Because she, I mean, same as most parents, because you know it's funny deep down, because you're like, you don't mean this, you're just freaking out. But the worst thing when you're a teenager, when you're all hormonal, is for someone to laugh at you. But my mum found it so funny when we were so frustrated over the littlest thing. She'd giggle and I would just be like, you don't understand me.
But you know what? It's funny because actually, you know the way everyone's having lockdown tantrums because we're all going a bit nuts.
Oh, yeah.
But I find that like, you know, I will have tantrums and Fred will throw his equivalent of a tantrum, but I will always laugh. And you know what? There is nothing as provocative as somebody laughing at you when you're having, mm-hmm. you're in the midst of a tizzy. So especially I think when you're a teenager, again, like totally not justifying what's about to go down, but mm-mm. you are just super susceptible to that kind of provocation when you're a teen.
Also teenage hormones, when you sort of like throw a tantrum and you get super in your own head, that doesn't equate to spitting in someone's face.
No,
you broke the glass with a golf club. That's a yeah. different thing.
Helen, you broke the glass and you were definitely thinking, will I spit on her? But you chose not to. And that's the main thing.
A good choice. Yeah.
Okay, so poor old, basically Yumi was just totally terrified of her daughter. And you know what? There is something really sad about this as well, because you do, as a former teacher, you know, every now and again you meet a parent who says, I cannot control my child. I don't know what to do. So clearly this poor woman was in that space where she was like, I have a teenage daughter. I cannot control her. I don't know what to do. She confessed to Ryan, her husband, that she was scared of Isabella. And it was the day after this face spitting incident on the 28th of August. That morning, Yumi awoke to a threatening email from Isabella saying, you will pay. Quite ominous. I mean, nobody wants to wake up to that email. You will pay. I mean, it's not a nice way to start your day. At this stage, the poor woman like just doesn't know what to do. She ends up calling the police. The police came to the house for a welfare check and spoke to Isabella, telling her that as an 18-year-old, her mother was entitled to kick her out and basically to just cop on, like just she needed to cop on with her behavior. So Yumi goes off to work and she actually rang Isabella's biological dad, Robert, asking if he could go and talk to her. So Robert calls round to the house and sits down and tells Isabella that she really needs to treat her mother with more respect. Now, he would later say that he got the vibe that the chat had gone really well and Isabella had taken her dad's feedback on board. She was kind of nodding along. She was acquiescing, agreeing with what he was saying. And he left satisfied that he had made her see the error of her ways.
Oh, man, bless you.
Yes. I mean,
so confident.
Like, men, come on, read the signs.
All fixed with one conversation.
I know, like,
it. Off to Burger King now.
Don't listen. You know that problem you've had with our daughter for the last 18 years? Well, guess what? I sat down in the garden. We had a chat and it's over. You're welcome. Thank you. So, more evidence, as if we needed it, that men aren't great at picking up on the signs. So Simple. He left and was like, sorted. And then poor old Isabella's mother, so Yumi had gone off to work and she's at work. She returns home at about 9:30 that night. Now, this is why I'm like instantly, what a good mother. She has McDonald's for everyone. I mean,
come on, Yumi.
McDonald's. Right. Comes home from work, even though her daughter is being such an asshole to her, she has a Macca's for her. Like, come on. Honestly, it's just unconditionallove.com. She asks Ryan where Isabella is, and he says she's in her room. Yumi goes to take a shower. However, after a few minutes, Ryan starts hearing like thumping noises upstairs and his name being called. He runs upstairs and sees the door open and the shower running. Now, this is actually quite scary. He sees Isabella in the bathroom, standing over her mother and her mother looking absolutely terrified. Before Isabella manages to lock the door, he hears Yumi screaming. Ryan runs downstairs to grab his phone and calls 911. He hears his wife screaming. So he runs back upstairs. He's obviously on the phone to the dispatchers whilst, I mean, like, I can't imagine how horrendous this must have been. So he tries to break down the bathroom door, can't, on the phone to 911, can hear his wife being attacked by his stepdaughter on the other side of the door, but he can't get to her. The shower is running. I mean, it's literally a horror film. It's, I mean, it just must have been so traumatic for him. So he's
and also the- like, is the McDonald's, did they eat it already? Or is it going cold?
And you can't microwave McDonald's.
You can't reheat the chips. You can't. You just can't.
It's over. It is. Yeah. So like the McDonald's is cooling. The milkshake is melting. It's just, it's God. A disaster. And so look, the attack is unfolding. And this really broke my heart, actually. The last word his wife shouts, Yumi shouts, is Jehovah.
Oh God.
Yeah. Really, really sad. This is just so scary. The door then opens and Isabella emerges holding a knife and covered in blood. She is absolutely silent, says nothing, walks straight past Ryan, doesn't look at him or make eye contact, and heads straight back into her room. So Ryan is on the phone to 911, obviously runs into the bathroom. Yumi is lying on the floor covered in blood with a baseball bat beside her. He starts doing CPR, but to no avail. The emergency service arrived shortly. They actually arrived, which I think is unbelievably quick, 11 minutes after he placed the call. So very quickly. Wow. But even at that stage, she just could not be saved. And Yumi was pronounced dead at 10:28. So less than an hour after she had arrived home, the poor woman was dead.
Oh my God.
And the ferocity of the crime was just insane. So she'd been stabbed 79 times. It's thought that the attack had actually started with the baseball bat before Isabella had moved on to the knife. 79 times, Helen. Isn't it?
This is insane.
It's insane. You can't even get your head around 79 times. It is just mental, off the charts altogether.
And all the other like podcasts about crime that you hear, it's like, to stab someone is such a personal act and so up close, like there's no distance, you know? Like you have to, the hatred has to be so high in you to be able to do that.
Yeah, like, very personal.
Oh God.
Just
how do you recover from seeing something like that? Yeah.
I say you just don't. I mean, honestly, her poor husband, and I often think, to be honest, I don't know how paramedics do these things, you know, or police officers or people like responding to these situations. I am not strong enough to do anything that involves this level of gruesome. It's just totally off the charts. So the emergency services arrive and it's clear at this stage that Isabella has fled and her image is released to the public, the local community in Colorado. The police warn the public not to approach Isabella as she's obviously presumed to be dangerous. The manhunt begins as they start to comb the surrounding area for this teenage killer. The next day, somebody calls into the police station reporting a dead body in a car. So they say they've seen this body, it's covered in blood and it's in a car. By the time they make it out to the car, the body is gone. They search the car and find some of Isabella's belongings, which makes them realize that the person in the car actually must have been Isabella, and she's obviously alive because she's no longer in the car. So look, we don't have to be Sherlock Holmes here to work out that the Isabella is still alive. And about 2 p.m. they find her in the vicinity of the car park, so she hadn't gone far. I mean, you'd question why it took them that long to find her. She's literally still standing by the car park, and they arrest her for murder on the spot. A week later, Isabella's court appearance attracted massive media attention. Her behavior was essentially what made her go viral. In the footage from her court appearance, she's kind of smiling and pulling faces. She gives this kind of sarcastic smirk. Yeah. And then this dead stare at the camera, and she points to her eyes like this. She kind of stares at the camera and points at her eyes. And this video of Isabella in the orange jumpsuit is the pic that goes everywhere, and the videos that are used on TikTok as well. It's all this image of her in the orange jumpsuit. Now, a lot of videos, quite disturbingly, because obviously we're talking about a really serious crime. Do you remember the song Sweet But Psycho? Do you remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of the TikTok videos had that audio of that song, but they were using her image.
Oh my fucking God.
Yeah, people are just nuts. What? People are absolutely nuts. So it just got a little bit out of control, especially on TikTok, people doing impersonations of how she was pulling faces, like, you know, mimicking her stance at the court appearance because she was kind of defiant at the court appearance. And
you know, I'm going to like watch all of this.
Oh, yes.
I'm like, I'm doing the whole reactions for you. Like, how awful. This is gross. But I know the disgusting side of
all
me.
All over it. Well, listen,
like, pictures.
We're all doing a Google. I'll send you a couple of links actually after this.
Yes,
so,
please.
Despite, look, obviously it was a really disturbing video to watch, but kind of what really strikes me watching like the footage of her court appearance, there's no indication that she really knows what's going on, or it's almost a bit childlike the way she's pulling okay. faces. Like, to me, it looks like somebody, and even obviously the nature of the crime itself, you would say somebody may be having some kind of psychotic episode. You know, it's kind of a disturbing watch. Isabella then obviously is being detained without the possibility of bail. A year later, her trial date was due to commence, but before the trial started, a plea of insanity was provided. In the intervening period, she had been diagnosed with schizophrenia. And about a month before the murder, she apparently was hearing voices. So do you remember the boyfriend that she chased with the golf club?
Yeah.
He claimed that this was so out of character for her, and that around that time, she'd also started to refer to a guy called Sam, who she said did not want her going out with this boyfriend, and the boyfriend felt that Sam actually had not existed. And then other people were saying that she had started to refer to her mom as Cecilia, and claiming that she needed to kill Cecilia to save the world. Now, you would say, looking back now, they were red flags that this person was not well and clearly needed a bit of help. Again, you know, we're not placing any blame here or anything,
but
if that stuff was going on, I mean, clearly then we need some kind of intervention.
Oh, for sure. Oh.
So she was transferred to the Colorado Mental Health Institute, where she was due to stay until she was judged not to be a threat to herself or others. And this is so America, by the way. In November 2020, so even though she's still in this mental health institute, she appeared on CBSN Denver. Like, how does that happen? Do you know what I mean?
She gets a TV day for a live interview.
It just doesn't make any sense. So, yeah. So she appears and she says, look, that she had suffered. She says that she had suffered abuse for many years and that she suffered a lot, especially after she had tried to leave the Jehovah's religion when she was 14. Mm-hmm. She said that she was no longer a threat to herself, that she really regretted her crime. And she said, I was, quote, not myself when I did that. And I have been since restored to full health. She also went on to say, the fight with my mom was terrible and I was injured in the process. I have the scars on my hand. I don't know if you can see or not. So she was suggesting it was more of a two-way thing, but I mean, I would imagine that maybe...
It sound like it was.
No, yeah. I mean, I would imagine self-defense, surely, that the poor woman was just trying to, you know, defend herself as she was being stabbed 79 times to death.
Fucking hell. No, that's not a two-way attack.
And then in the interview, she did state as well that she had actually been assaulted by a hospital employee, that she'd been sexually assaulted and was now seeking to prosecute this man that she says assaulted her.
Oh,
it's still, so that's like a whole other like case that's going on. She's still in the mental health institute. It is a case which continues to attract notoriety on TikTok, and as I said, you know, people continue to hypothesize what really could have been behind the murder. One person on TikTok even said that she was being sold to the mafia by her mother and this kind of stuff. Again, absolutely no basis whatsoever. Mm. It just kind of feeds into the fact that people refuse to accept that this is a crime which in all likelihood was the result of a person in the grips of a psychotic episode. And rather than accept mental illness as the motivator, instead, TikTok has cultivated this unhealthy obsession with Isabella, with one account even writing underneath a spoof video in ode of the teenage killer that, quote, Isabella is so pretty that whoever she killed must have really deserved it. And that is the story of Isabella Guzman.
Oh my fucking God.
The TikTok killer. And that was you, Helen. That was Helen Barr. Zero
My
one,
mind
zero
is blown
one.
By this.
It is a crazy case.
On every level as well. It's like just that
Very
fear
sad.
Of mental illness. And it's like the mother and the stepfather and the father maybe knew on some level, but just that fear of having a child who's mentally ill and feeling that you might have had some part of it. There's just denial, isn't it?
It's, and also the fact, I just really feel for the poor mother, because, you know, if you're living in that situation and you don't know what to do, like the fact that she called the police, she wanted help, but she, I mean, where do you get help if you're in that situation? And now look at this tragic, you know, look at the tragic result that, you know, that we have. It's just, it's really, really tragic. So sad. And also people are so weird. Like the obsession with this case, I get the interest, but the spoof videos and all that, there's so much tasteless stuff out there.
The thing
there.
Is, Julie, I know we're saying it's tasteless and I'm doing the whole, oh my God.
But we're talking about it.
But we're talking about it and I know I'm going to go look it all up. Yeah. Like I have, there's no dignity to either of us right now.
Well, you see this, yeah, do you know what? There's a bit of culpability on all sides, because this is it. I can't stand here and say, you know, isn't it terrible that people are still banging on about this? Because I'm doing a podcast on it, but.
And I'm loving hearing about it.
I'm not going to do. Helen, you're loving it. I mean, to be fair, we will watch the spoof videos, but we're not going to do one. And that's the difference between us and those TikTokers, Helen.
The difference is I don't have a TikTok account. Like, that's what
Do you know what? Do you not have one? I just, when I thought I could not stand you more.
I don't. I mean, I've seen TikTok videos, but like the ones that are really great get shared on Instagram. So I'm sort of like, exactly. Oh, this is good. I don't really miss out on anything.
You get the gold on Instagram. I am on TikTok, but I just feel very, very old. Very, very old and tired. TikTok makes me feel tired, Helen. On that note, keeping the energy going, Helen, can you please give a shout? Now, people will know Helen's podcast anyway. So Daddy Look At Me with the wonderful Rosie Jones. I kind of said it there. Sorry, I jumped in instead of allowing you to announce your own podcast. Sorry, you go announce your podcast.
No. Well, I do a podcast with, as you said, lovely Rosie Jones, and it's called Daddy Look At Me. I basically interview people, mainly comedians. It was supposed to be loads of other people, but it's mainly comics, about their childhood and usually their first steps onto the stage and if they were attention seekers. It's a real mess of a podcast. It's good fun.
I just love it. And your guest list, I'm not going to go through the guest list, but you have had some unbelievable guests on. So it's well worth checking out if you haven't already. You have your online gig list as well?
Yes, Catherine Bohart's online gig list, which I co-host. But honestly, like, that's it. That's all that's going on. Like, I don't think anyone listening to this is going to be like, oh, I want more from that Helen girl. They're just going to be watching the spoofs, as they should be.
No, you need to check out Helen. You probably know Helen already, but you need to follow her on Instagram, follow her on Twitter, because you're just gas. And I can't wait to get to see you perform again, Helen. You're just deadly. Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so much fun, Julie.
Thank you, Helen. Love you so much. You. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.